Now take your Bibles, please. We want to read the Word of God together. Turn to Colossians today, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Our study today is in the identification truths, and we're looking at the believer's position in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 is one of the places in the Word of God where we are taught about our position in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. I'm going to read this fairly slowly. I want you to think about it carefully as we read. The Spirit of God will open His Word to us. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Stop a moment. How did you receive Christ the Lord? By faith. What is the writer saying? So walk in Him. How do you live the Christian life? The same way you got into Christ. By faith. Listen, dear friend. So many of us do not have a faith walk as a Christian with the Lord. It's our effort than faith in Him. Verse 7. What is this walk like? Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Look at my hands, dear friends. The Christian life must be rooted in Christ. The Christian life is not me living for Christ. It is Christ living in me. The Christian life is Christ. My roots have to go down into Him, being rooted and grounding. What do roots do? They take in nourishment so that the plant can grow. You can't grow. You can't be strong. You can't deal with the storms of life if you don't have a strong root system, being firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. So many Christians are still babies. They haven't grown up, being built up. They're not strong. They're pushed over, knocked over, yield to anything that comes along. And what is the key? In verse 7, just as you were instructed. Dear friends, you're not made strong for the trials, the temptations, the needs, the opportunities of this next week. You're not made strong unless you are being instructed out of the Word of God about who Christ is and how it is you draw your life from Him. Instruction. And most Christians are not instructed from the Word of God on any regular basis. They're not growing up. They're not strong. The end result is that we just overflow with gratitude. The thing that just brings us to the place, and this has happened in my own life this week, as I have been reading these truths from the Word of God, it literally brings me to tears. Tears on one side about my failure and hopelessness out of self. But on the other side, seeing all that I have in Christ, it's more than I can handle. Gratitude overflows the richness of Christ. Verse 8, look at this warning. Young person, look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Listen, friend, these elementary principles refer to one thing in Scripture. It is man's effort to please God. It's self-effort, works. Paul says, don't be deceived by that. Philosophical systems, or even religious systems, are built on this. What is it that we're to be seeing and understanding? Christ as the source of our Christian life. And that's why, look at verse 9. For in Him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. In Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. Dear friend, in Him, if I see it, if I can learn it, in Him I've been made complete. I have all I need to live, but He is the source. Not I, but Christ. And we're going to see in just a moment, so many of us live under the pressure of what I think I have to do to live as God wants me to. And we're learning by failure, I cannot do that. Not I, Christ. And so what we're going to talk about today is how you draw out of who Christ is for our living. Verse 10 again, in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. And verse 11 sounds almost like Romans 6 that we read last Sunday. Look at verse 11. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith, the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Look at me, dear friend. Paul says here in Colossians, just as he did in our reading from Romans 6 last Sunday, that God has done something about that old man, that flesh that I have from Adam. He separated me from it. He's made me dead to it. In the place of that, He's put the life of Christ. And these are the only two sources from which a person can live. Self, who is still in the life of Adam, the natural, or the life of Christ. Every Christian has the life of Christ. Every Christian is going to heaven, but not every Christian lives out of what they have. This is what we're talking about. And for most of us, this is of great concern. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, how we thank You. By Your grace, we're in Christ. We didn't come looking for You. You came looking for us. You sought us and brought us to Yourself. And by faith, simple faith, we believe your promise of eternal life, and we were saved in a moment. We were born. That was our spiritual birthday. But then, Father, we began a life, a spiritual life here on this earth before we go to heaven, a life of growth, where we're supposed to be nourished by Christ, living from who He is as our life, and getting stronger and being useful to You where Christ is seen in us, not ourselves. Father, if we're honest, so many of us have struggled with this. We love You, and with genuineness we sought to live for You. We want to honor You with our lives. But Father, the power of sin continues to defeat us. Fathers, we would go a little further in these principles of identification truth. Would You show us how that You provided in Christ what we can't do for ourselves? We couldn't save ourselves, only He could do that. Now, we can't defeat sin either. He has to do that, but He has. He's died for our sins. He has been raised up as our life. Help us grasp and begin to experience this new kind of living out of Christ. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the identification truths are God's remedy for the endless cycle of struggle and failure which many genuine Christians experience in their day-to-day lives. After being saved by God's grace, most Christians assume that it's their responsibility to live for Christ. This assumption is based on the belief that they, or we as Christians, have the ability, if we're sincere, to live a holy life. Well, after being a Christian for a period of time, many sincere Christians reach the place of total frustration and failure. Total frustration and failure in their attempt to live for Christ. They've tried. They've tried. But they've failed repeatedly. And two options seem to be the only ones that stand in front of them. One is to blame themselves for their failure and to try harder to succeed in living the Christian life. The other option is to blame God. Blame God and conclude, it doesn't work. God, I tried it. You said it would. It hasn't happened. It doesn't work. So whether we blame ourselves for our own failure or blame God because what we've understood He said doesn't work, we're at that point of quitting. Isn't God wonderful, dear friend, that He's patient? And I'm trying to be careful here. And if we could go around this room, you could share with me. For some of us, it takes years. Years. We said last week, the understanding of these things doesn't come quickly, nor does it come easily. God is patient to work with us, to literally wait for us to get to the place where we're to understand. Well, in our previous study, we observed that God has made a provision. God has made a provision for every Christian success in living the Christian life. However, His ways are not our ways. Our ways, what we think about how you would live in victory, they're not God's thoughts. Not God's ways. We have to understand His way. Our way is to attempt to solve this problem of failure in our own strength and ability. To look to ourselves by resorting to some form of discipline or dedication. To try harder, to be more genuine, more sincere. But His way is to bring us to look to Christ, look unto Jesus, to see that the work has already been done. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He began it. He's the only one that can finish it, bring it to maturity. Just as Christ is God's provision for our justification, which is freedom from the penalty of sin, so He is God's provision for our sanctification, which is freedom from the power of sin. The question I've typed on your outline is the question that so many of us earnestly desire an answer for. How then does the Christian life work? How can I understand it? Oh God, I'm so frustrated. I do want to know, but everything that I've tried just falls on its face. And I keep coming back to the same place of failure. Well, last week we began to list some things that we must understand in order to know God's way, His way of victory. Number one, the Christian life is lived by faith. Write that in, please, by faith. We're just going to review some of the things we listed last week. The Christian life is lived by faith. We're told that very clearly in Hebrews 11:6. Do you understand what this is saying? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Question, in your living, in my living of the Christian life, where's the faith? If there's no faith, I'm not pleasing Him. I'm not doing it His way. Something in my approach, something in my understanding is wrong. Because God's way is going to be built on faith. So we've said everything in our relationship with God is determined by the principle of faith. The principle of faith. You were not saved without faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the same principle is true in our sanctification. It is by faith. We're told that in Ephesians 1 that we've been given every spiritual blessing. Now stop a moment. If you were really honest and you and I were just talking one-on-one and I were to ask, do you have every spiritual blessing? Everything that God has, do you have it? And some of you would look at me like, what? Are you crazy? I'm just saved going to heaven. That's all I'm worried about. By faith, God wants you and me to understand we have every spiritual blessing, everything that is needed in the spiritual realm. In Hebrews, we're told that it is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He does provide what is needed to finish what He began. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told that He has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, let's stop again. Do you believe that today? Do I? That everything I need for life and godliness, I will find in God's provision for me. And some will say, well, Pastor Jerry, I don't see anything. Where is it? Where is it? It's in the person of Jesus Christ. God has to show us where to look, and only by His Word do we understand what we have in Jesus Christ. And so, the successful Christian life begins and continues on the principle of faith. Then secondly, the Christian life is lived by faith in the facts of God's Word, the facts. The principle is faith, but faith has to have an object. Faith is always looking toward something, believing in something. What are the facts? Jesus said it very clearly, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is the truth. And we are to study, Paul says to Timothy. And sometimes it's hard work. It requires diligence. You won't do it in 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes you will have to spend 30 minutes, an hour, thinking even about one verse or even one word or one concept. But it is that truth that will make you free. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 6 and the foundation for identification truth, our union with Christ in His death, then in His resurrection. These foundation truths are in Romans chapter 6. So, especially if you were not here last week, just write in these thoughts again. There are three facts that we listed from Romans chapter 6 last week, that we must accept by faith. I'm going to use a term today that might sound a little strange. We need to faith the facts. You will not grow as a Christian. You will not become strong. You will not be able to deal with man or sin or the world's temptation unless you and I learn to faith the facts. Alright? What are the facts? We can't faith what we don't know. What are the facts? God tells us here in Romans 6, fact number 1, the believer has been baptized into Christ. You were put into Christ the moment you were saved. That is now your position. And praise the Lord, when God, by the Spirit baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit Himself puts you into Christ, no one can take you out of Christ. That is the security of the believer. You can't lose it, even by your failure. Second fact, the believer has been baptized into Christ's death. Christ bore no sin of His own, but He took our sin upon Himself. He paid the penalty for our sin. He secured our redemption. He bought us back. But He also did a work. He did a work regarding our sin. And so if you would, just simply write in this key thought. He died to sin, according to Romans 6. We died to sin. We were in Him, baptized. We were placed into what happened to Him. We participated. We were part of. He died, we died. Now, listen. Most of us, in the beginning, don't have a clue what that means. Oh, I hear the words. He died, I died. What does that mean? We begin by accepting the biblical statement of fact. We believe it because God has revealed it. It doesn't make sense to us. We can't see it. We can't feel it. And maybe right now we're not even experiencing it. But if God says it, His fact becomes the focus of my faith. Problem is, most people don't know this. They don't know the identification truths. They don't know that we've been identified with Christ in His death. They don't know that God has done something about our sin nature, our life in Adam. He's done something about it. Set us free. We're separated from it. Now, sin is still in our life. We still have an old nature. We can sin. A Christian can sin just like he did before he was saved, but not because he has to. The unbeliever has no other life but Adam and a sin nature. A Christian has been separated from Adam, set free. He no longer is required to sin. But it is knowing our death with Christ that begin and placing faith in that that begins the process of freedom in our living. I love this from William Culbertson, past president of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. He says, who died on the cross? Well, of course, our blessed Lord died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. But who else died there? And most Christians say, what? What? This week, last week and this week, we're just trying to lay down the fact. Don't even try to understand it or the implication of it yet. Just take the fact. God, you say it. It is true. Now, I'll have to let you teach me. By the way, it is the job of the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. He is able to bring understanding. Third fact from Romans 6, the believer has been unified with Christ's resurrection. Not only were we identified with Him in His death, but we have been united. Look at Romans 6, 4. So as Christ was raised from the dead, so we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. In Romans 6:11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive. And listen now, some deeper life teaching, books, conferences, movements, some just focus on the first part of Romans 6:11, consider yourself to be dead to sin. And we're going to talk about this word reckon or count it to be true. Reckon yourself to be dead. And their focus is, well, I'm dead, 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 dead. And they tried and nothing happens. Dear friends, the point of being understanding that we're dead is that we're separated from that life to have a new source of living. The focus of the Christian life is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but what? Christ lives in me. One is release. One is life. Christ. These are the facts. Ellie Maxwell says, believers in Christ were joined to Him at the cross, united to Him in death and resurrection. We died with Christ. He died for us, and we died with Him. This is a great fact. Fact. True of all believers. Listen, friends, if this is true of all believers, are you a believer who knows this truth? That is the purpose of our study and my encouragement for you to read one of these two books. The third thing in our focus for this morning is a fact. The Christian life is lived by the fact of the believer's position in Jesus Christ. You know Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. Mark it. I have a life that I'm now living. Question, is it my old life or is it the new life, Christ in me? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. And then the section that I hope you're being faithful to memorize. I've asked you to do that. I've just picked out these phrases from Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Therefore, if or since you have been raised up with Christ, underline the fact. You have been raised up with Christ. We're going to talk about positional truth today. What is my position? In faith, in the facts of God's Word, I have been raised up with Christ. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Where is Christ? He's at the right hand of the Father. Where am I? I am in Him. That is my position. For you have died. And mark this, what a key phrase for all of us as believers. Dear friend, it opens whole vistas, whole areas of spiritual understanding, the things we've never seen before. This phrase, your life is hidden with Christ in God. All the devil wants you to do as a Christian today is be more aware of your surroundings here and your self-life in this world. To be more aware of that than these facts that we're to receive by faith. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Now again, do I understand that completely? No. I might not in the beginning understand it at all. It might be a confusion to me. And it's okay to say, Lord, what do you mean by this? I see it in your word. I receive it as your revealed truth. It says, my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where my living is to come from. Dear friends, in a way, it's this simple. Answer the question. What is the source of my living today? Me, here, now? Or there, hidden in Christ? My source of living is Christ, where He is. Positional truth. Look at this, please, on page 90. The principle of position. All spiritual life and growth is based upon the principle of position. It can be summed up in one word, source. Through physical birth, we entered our human family position. Mark it. We entered our human family position from which source we derived characteristics from the way we look to the way we talk to our intelligence to so many things. Where do we get it? By the position we were born into in our human family. Source. We are the product of our position, just so in our spiritual birth. When we are born again, the risen Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, is the source of our Christian life. In Him we are positioned before our Father, in whom we live and move and have our being. Our Father, in redeeming and recreating us, raised us up with Him, that is with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The fact that our spiritual enemy does not want us to know is that every Christian by spiritual birth is now in Christ. That is our position. Look at this. Our position, the source of our Christian life, is perfect. It is eternally established in the Father's presence. When we receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit caused us to be born into Him. He created us in the position that was established through His work at Calvary. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the eternal position in which every believer has been placed, whether he is aware of it or not. May I say it again, dear friend? This breaks my heart. I want to weep when I think of some believers. They've never been taught, instructed in this truth. They don't know it. Thank the Lord, they know they're going to heaven when they die, but they know nothing of their position, their eternal position of being in Christ. The Christian who comes to see his position in the Lord Jesus begins to experience the benefit of all that he is in him. His daily state or experience is developed from the source of this eternal standing. Fact. Our position in Christ. Look at this last paragraph. Very helpful. We take our position not by attempting to get into it, but simply by seeing that we are already positioned in the Lord Jesus. We abide in Him by resting in the fact we have been in this risen position ever since our new birth. As we come to realize this truth and to stand in our standing in Him, we begin to experience the daily benefits of our life that is hid with Christ in God. Our attitude becomes, I see my position in the Lord Jesus, and I abide there. I rest in Him, not only as my Savior, but as my life. As my life. Faith in our position will bring growth in our condition. Look at me just a moment, friend. Look at me. We're going to say it better in just a moment. But as long as we think we have to get spiritual life out of ourselves, oh, that's like trying to get blood from a turnip. It's not in there. You can't get it out. It's doomed to failure. And yet that is the natural thinking that most of us have. I'm saved now. Now I've got to live spiritually from myself. Spiritual life cannot come from me. It can only come from Christ. He is the source. Let's contrast the principle of position with the principle of condition. Our condition is what we are in our Christian walk, in which we develop from infancy to maturity. Look at me in just a moment. We're going to see this. We're going to chart it. Your position, look at me, it happens that quickly. The moment you're saved, you are positioned in Christ. You get all of Him. He gets all of you. There's no growth into it. It's yours in Christ. That's your position. Condition, start off as a baby, infant, and you grow toward maturity. So justification, salvation happens in a moment. Growth in Christ's likeness is the maturing process of a lifetime. when we're conformed to the image of Christ. Oh, look at this statement. Although our position remains immutable, that's unchangeable. Although our position remains unchangeable, immutable, our condition is variable. Anybody want to say amen to that? Our condition is variable. Every day can be different, every year. Through the exercise of faith, our eternal position, source, which is Christ, affects our daily condition. Oh, but underline this and underline it again. But in no way does our condition affect that heavenly position. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear friend, if I had to hold on and keep my salvation by my condition, the way I lived, oh, I would never have assurance of salvation. I would constantly be in failure. And so life would either be on the side of failure or the side of Pharisaical pride. Next paragraph. When we concentrate on our condition, we're not living by faith, but by feelings and appearances. The inevitable result is that we become increasingly self-conscious and self-centered. If your focus is your condition rather than your position, you're not living by faith. We said it, the first principle of spiritual life is living by faith. You're not living by faith when you're focusing on your condition. You're focusing on your works, on your behavior, on who you are, rather than who Christ is. The inevitable result is that we become increasingly self-conscious and self-centered. Some Christians, bless their hearts, who are saved by the grace of God and going to heaven, are the most self-centered people I've ever met. Don't say amen to that. But isn't it true? You just hope no unbeliever gets to know them real well. They'll never see who Christ is. Third paragraph, if the believer does not know of his position in the Lord Jesus and how to abide in Him as his very life, there will be but one result. He will struggle in his un-Christ-like condition rather than rest in his Christ-centered position. So, let's chart this out. Make a little chart of the contrast between position and condition. I wish we had our overhead projector. We've had trouble with it. But if you'll just follow me, we can do this effectively. Notice this is a timeline of your life down at the bottom, the X on the left-hand side. That's the beginning of your life. And you lived a certain period of time before you were saved. That's what the cross represents here. All that time between your birth and your salvation, your only source of life was who? Adam. Adam. You were in Adam. This is spiritual genetics. The only spiritual genetics making up your life came from your forefather, my forefather, Adam. We were not in Christ. Now, the moment you're saved, and this line going up from the cross up to the word position, make an arrow out of that at the top. Because the moment, I just said it ago, the moment you're saved, instantaneously, you're put into Christ. He is your position, and that never changes. Go all the way across to the right, see the word glory? That's your position until you get to glory and for all eternity. Write three words in there about your position. Number one, it's perfect. It's perfect. Can't add anything to who Christ is. Can't get any better or more holy than He is. Secondly, it's eternal. It begins the moment you... See, you already have eternal life when you're put into Christ. You already have everything that's His forever. So, it's eternal. And then, thirdly, it's unchangeable or immutable. It can never change. Some people in their theology say, well, you know, I had that position, but I lost it. I fell away from it. Dear friend, I want to tell you one of the glorious facts, most precious things you'll ever discover, is that when you're in Christ, He cannot change. You can't mess it up. Oh, we make a mess, but it doesn't mess up our position. It's perfect, eternal, unchangeable, and last forever. That's who we're going to be in glory. Now, down on the bottom line again, you see the word condition. After the cross, I'm still living here on this earth, and boy, sometimes I don't reflect my position. I don't look like Christ. I'm very un-Christ-like. And so, beginning there at the cross, if you'll take your pen and pencil and just kind of do a zigzag roller coaster. Oh, by the way, maybe we should do this privately in this sense. You want to do something kind of exciting? Begin the day, the year you were saved, and especially if you've been a Christian 10, 15, 40 years, chart your life pretty accurately. Oh yeah, I grew for those first couple of years and it was upward, but then, oh, went to college. I got my first job. Got married, and he sure was a jerk. Oh, my Christian life, it went down for a while, and it goes back. All right, just chart that zigzag, sawtooth experience. And that charting is going to go from the cross all the way to that final line over there, the day of your death or the rapture when Jesus comes for His bride, the church. Your life is going to end on earth, and you're going to go to glory. You're going to go to glory. The question then, and along that zigzag or roller coaster line, just write these words, progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. Or underneath that, write conformity to Christ. Romans 8:29. What that line represents is my actual growth into Christ-likeness. It is a progressive process. It is growth from infancy, hopefully, to adulthood or to maturity. And so, and here's the beautiful thing on that final line. Whether you've stayed a babe, a spiritual baby, and that line has stayed pretty low, or whether you've had real growth, none of us arrives at perfection in this life. So we're going to fall short somewhere of true Christ likeness. That's just the fact. But the moment we die, our condition will match our position. Amen? Praise the Lord. My condition is going to match my position. We will see Him as He is. The result of that, we will be like Him. Ah, perhaps today. Well, that's a very helpful little chart. Now, down at the bottom of this, underneath the chart, let me just ask a couple of practical questions. What is your position today? Well, it's that top line. Perfect, eternal, unchanging. Is that the way you're thinking about yourself today? Are you putting faith in the fact of that? Are you faithing the fact? What is your condition today? Maybe you're here today and you can't, you'd say, Pastor Jerry, I can't even answer that question. I'm at a point of such miserable failure in my Christian life. I couldn't even tell anyone about it. It would embarrass me, but it would embarrass the Lord even more. Guess what? Your total failure, my total failure today, cannot affect my position. I'm perfect. It's eternally true. It cannot change. But it is the release of understanding my position that frees me from the guilt, the pressure, the empty promises that I make to God in an effort to live the Christian life. Dear friend, anyone here ready to get off of that treadmill? Oh, that treadmill of failing and repenting, confessing your sin, which you, that's right, we have to do that. But wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to keep going on that cycle, that merry-go-round? Coming back to failure, making promises that we cannot keep. I'm so thankful to have come to the point, and this is just the way I think within myself. I love in the morning just to say, Lord, you know, I want to live for you today. I want people to see you and me. But I know from experience that's not going to happen if I have to do it. So, Lord, let's just acknowledge that right now. I might as well go back to bed, not go out my front door because I can't do it. And here's the statement, Lord, if you don't do it, it won't be done. And I just hear the Lord based on these statements, but I have done it. It's already there. I'm waiting for you as you step out your front door. My life is equal. Not I, but Christ. All right, on the last page, and I'll just ask you to look at this. I've simply given you a page on taking our position, about putting off the old and putting on the new. Take this, study it, and meditate on it. But let me just read this introductory thought. Our Father intends us to know and understand that He has already provided in Christ our life everything required of our Christian life, both in time and eternity. He is patiently teaching us to have no faith in the old man or self, and to exercise all of our faith in the new man, Christ. We are told to do in faith what our Father has already done. In fact, faith, the facts. At the cross, He freed us from the reign of sin and self. In the resurrection, He united us to the risen Lord Jesus. By faith in the work of the cross, the old man is put off. By faith in our heavenly position in Christ, the new man is put on. By considering the old man to have been crucified at Calvary, he is put off daily. By considering ourselves as newly created in the risen Lord Jesus, we put on the new man. As we escape self's reign of death, we enter into Christ's reign of life. Oh, friend, how this truth has fed my soul. And I trust it's met the hunger of your heart today. Not I, but Christ. Christ lives in me. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for the truth of the Word and for your provision. You've done what we cannot do. You ask us to understand the facts because they're in your word, and your dear Spirit opens our understanding and guides us to the truth, and then you simply tell us to believe it, faith it. Father, help us to begin to grasp these things. Father, help someone here today to get one of these books. And Father, to put their mind into the truth of this writing, because it has been so helpful to so many Christians for so many years. Father, use these books, written by a man, but given by your Spirit. Use these books to grow us up and conform us to Christ. Father, thank you that nothing in our condition can change what is eternally true in our position. In Jesus' name, amen.